They say, if you stare into the abyss long enough, well, after a while, that abyss starts staring back. But what if that abyss weren't some far-off idea? What if it was sitting right there in your own backyard? Way out yonder in the cold, misty hills near Ellensburg, Washington, there's a spot folks whisper about, a hole so deep they say it'd swallow the sea, so dark it'd snuff out starlight, and stranger than anything you'd ever hear told around a campfire. A fella by the name of Mel Waters claimed he found it, and the moment he spoke up, he disappeared. Was it the government snatching him up, aliens dragging him off, or something older and meaner? Tonight, we're taking a slow walk to the edge of that hole, into the dark belly of the unknown. This, here's the story of Mel's Hole. Welcome to Kentucky Melodies, America's Scariest Stories, where we bring you ghostly legends, spooky haints, and bone-chilling tales from all over this great land. These stories will have you looking over your shoulder all night. So pull up a chair, dim them lights, and let's dive into the eerie and unexplained. Now, if you ain't never heard the name Art Bell, let me sit you down and tell you about the fella who turned the dead a knot into a doorway for the dead, the lost, and the downright unexplainable. See, back in the late 80s, there was this old desert rat out in Pahrump, Nevada, a loner with a voice like midnight thunder, by the name of Art Bell. He weren't no suit-and-tie radio man broadcasting from some fancy city station. Nah, sir. He was coming at folks from a double-wide trailer sitting smack in the middle of the Mojave, surrounded by nothing but sand, sky, and maybe a UFO or two. Art, he didn't talk about the news or the weather like them daytime talkers. He opened his lines to them that seen things, felt things, stuff most folks would be too scared to whisper at the dinner table. He had guests rambling on about aliens poking around their barns, black-eyed kids knocking at bedroom windows, Bigfoot sightings and foggy hollers, time travelers, shadow people, and the government sticking its fingers in places it didn't belong. And buddy, by the time the early 90s rolled around, Art Bell had a whole nation listening. Farmers, truckers, late-shift nurses, insomniacs, and folks with too many ghosts in their attic. They all tuned in while the rest of the world slept. Coast to Coast AM became a lifeline for the strange and the scared. It was like a digital campfire in the dark, drawing in folks who felt like something ain't right in this world, and they needed someone who'd believe them. But out of all the tales ever told on them airwaves, and Lord knows there was thousands, there was one that cracked through the static like a voice from the void. A story that made even the most skeptical folks lean in, hold their breath, and start to wonder if maybe the devil does have a back door somewhere out in them Washington hills. That story came from a man called Mel Waters, and what he said, well, it chilled the bones of every man, woman, and beast who heard it. Now, it was on a cold February night back in 1997, when a man named Mel Waters first rang up Art Bell's radio show. His voice weren't rushed or excited. Nah, it was slow, matter-of-fact, like he was just sharing something he'd lived with a long while and figured folks ought to know. He said he had himself a patch of land out yonder near Ellensburg, Washington, Kittitas County, to be exact. Real quiet place. Pine trees, thick as thieves, them long mountain shadows stretching like fingers, and the kind of silence that presses on a man's ears like cotton. And on that land, tucked back past where the fence posts rot and the deer trail disappears, was a hole. Now, ain't no well, ain't no mine shaft, just a dang hole, round as a silver dollar, near 9 feet across, rimmed with a ring on old stones and rusted metal like it was once marked for something. Maybe something sacred, or something cursed. Mel didn't dig it, said it was there long before he ever laid claim to that ground. Old-timers in them parts had known about it for decades, maybe longer, but they didn't talk much on it. Just called it the hole, like even giving it a real name might wake something that's best left sleeping. He said animals wouldn't go near it. Dogs would whimper if they got too close. Deer gave it a wide berth. And birds, well, they just flat out refused to fly over it. Like there was something wrong with the air above it. Heavy, mean, but here's where it gets real spooky. Mel claimed that hole ain't got no bottom. Said he'd tried measuring it himself, dropping down reel after reel of fishing line with a 1 pound weight tied on the end. He let out 80,000 feet of line, 15 miles, give or take, and still, that weight never touched nothing. No clink, no splash, no nothing. Just a heavy stillness, like the earth had been hollowed out and left to whisper secrets into the void. That hole weren't just deep. It was impossible. And Mel, well, he was only just getting started. Mel, he wasn't no fool. He weren't looking to stir up trouble or spin yarns. He just couldn't make sense of what he had sitting out behind his barn. So, one day, he got to testing that hole. Took himself a sturdy old fishing pole and tied on a 1 pound weight, just like he was trying to catch something swimming down in the belly of the earth. He started lowering that line down slow, reel after reel, like he was dropping it into the throat of the world itself. 10,000 feet, 20, 40, 80,000 feet. That's 15 miles. 15. And the line just kept going. Never once tugged, never went slack, never so much as tickled the bottom. He said it was like lowering a line into nothing. Ain't natural. Ain't even possible, far as any man knows. Now, Mel wasn't the only one using that hole. The locals, well, they'd been tossing things down there for years. Old refrigerators, busted lawnmowers, barrels of God knows what. One fella even dumped a whole Chrysler in there, or so the story goes. Folks used it like a dump, but what got them uneasy was how nothing ever made a sound. No thud, no echo, not even the faintest clatter bouncing back up. It was like the earth just swallowed it all, like it was hungry. But the strangest thing, and I mean bone-crawling strange, was what happened with the neighbor's dog. Now, this old fella had a hound, faithful as the day is long, but it had gone and died. Natural, far as he could tell. Instead of burying it, he figured he'd send it off down the hole. Maybe it was convenience. Maybe he didn't want the coyotes digging it up. Who knows? So he tosses the dog in. Couple days later, he's out walking the ridge at dusk when he sees something moving in the tree line. At first, he don't think nothing of it, just a shadow, maybe a fox. But then it steps into the light. It's his dog, same coloring, same limp in the back leg, same little nick on the ear where it had tangled with a raccoon the summer before. But that dog, it looked at him different. Like it knew him, but didn't want to know him. Like it had come back wrong. It turned and padded off into the woods, tail low, ears back, and it never came near the house again. That was the moment Mel said he knew. This weren't no ordinary hole, weren't just deep or weird. There was something down there, something alive, something ancient, and maybe something evil. Now, right after Mel went on the air with Art Bell, spilling them secrets about the hole and all them unnatural goings-on, things started shifting, and not in a good way. He said it began subtle, Vehicles he didn't recognize parked up along the tree line. Black trucks with no plates. Folks snooping around his fence line, taking pictures, leaving boot tracks where no boots ought to be. And the wildlife? It went dead silent, like the whole forest was holding its breath. Then, just a few days after that broadcast, the men in black showed up. Not the funny kind from the movies, neither. These fellas were sharp as razors, dressed head to toe in black suits, dark glasses, earpieces, like they walked right out of some alphabet agency's nightmare playbook. Cold, no emotion, no names. They told Mel, right to his face, that he was trespassing on federal property. Said the land he'd called home for years was now classified. A secured site. No room for debate, no chance to argue. Next thing he knows, he's handed a document offering him a lease buyout. Real official looking, typed in all them fancy legal words that make your head hurt. And here's the kicker. Not long after, Mel gets shipped off to Australia. Just like that. No trial, no press, no nothing. One day, he's poking around in a mysterious hole. Next, he's half a world away with no answers and no land to call his own. And then, just like the hole, Mel went silent. Folks that remembered his call wondered what had happened. Some thought he got paid off. Others figured he was buried in the desert somewhere. For a long spell, the line went dead. No more Mel. No more talk of the hole. But just when folks started thinking the story was over, that's when Mel came back. He resurfaced in 2000 and again in 2002, calling into Art Bell's show like a voice coming back from the grave. But this time, Mel didn't sound right. His voice was scratchier, slower. You could tell he'd seen some things, and the tale he told, well, it was about to get a whole lot stranger, and a whole lot darker. Now, by the time Mel popped back up again, he weren't in Washington no more. Nope. He'd wound up in Nevada, near a tight-knit Basque community out in the desert flats. Dry land. Strange land. Land where the wind don't carry right, and even the stars seem to look the other way. Mel said he got wind of something familiar, too familiar. The locals whispered about a spot they didn't go near, a place even the wild dogs avoided. Sounded like the same kind of thing he'd found back on his own property. Sure enough, nestled out there past the scrub and sun-cracked earth was another hole, but this one was different. It didn't just sit there like a mouth waiting to be fed. No, sir. This one was active. Mel said sometimes late at night when the desert was dead still, you'd see it emit something unnatural, a black beam of light. Now, I know that don't make sense. Light's supposed to shine, right? Make things visible. But this weren't like no flashlight or car head beam. This light was dark. It didn't brighten. It ate. A thick, syrupy blackness that reached skyward and seemed to pull the stars into it. The locals said they'd tossed injured animals into that hole. Things hurt bad, dying, beyond help. And not long after, those same critters had come crawling back out the brush, looking fine as frog hair. Healed. Stronger, even. But they weren't right. They'd stare too long. They didn't bark or bleat no more, just watched, like they remembered being somewhere else, and maybe wishing they'd stayed. And then came the worst of it. Mel said he saw something coming up out of that pit, not a shadow, not a vapor, something with form. He never described it fully. Couldn't, maybe, just said it looked like it shouldn't be, like it was built wrong. It rose up slow, real quiet, and the second it did, everything went dead quiet. Not a single cricket, not a breeze, just silence, thick and heavy like water in your ears. Then came the blackouts. Whole towns nearby. Lights snuffed out like candles in a storm. Radios went to static. Power grids fried. And when the lights did come back, folks felt different. Nervous. Cold. Like something had been watching them from inside their own heads. Mel didn't stay long after that. He said that hole weren't just deep, it was hungry, and whatever it had spit out into the desert, it weren't done yet. Now, by the time Mel popped back up again, he weren't in Washington no more. Nope, he'd wound up in Nevada near a tight-knit Basque community out in the desert flats. Dry land, strange land, land where the wind don't carry right, and even the stars seem to look the other way. Mel said he got wind of something familiar. Too familiar. The locals whispered about a spot they didn't go near, a place even the wild dogs avoided. Sounded like the same kind of thing he'd found back on his own property. Sure enough, nestled out there past the scrub and sun-cracked earth was another hole. But this one, folks, this one was different. It didn't just sit there like a mouth waiting to be fed. No, sir. This one was active. Mel said sometimes late at night when the desert was dead still, you'd see it emit something unnatural, a black beam of light. Now, I know that don't make sense. Light's supposed to shine, right? Make things visible. But this weren't like no flashlight or car headbeam. This light was dark. It didn't brighten. It ate. A thick, syrupy blackness that reached skyward and seemed to pull the stars into it. The locals said they'd tossed injured animals into that hole. Things hurt bad, dying, beyond help. And not long after, those same critters had come crawling back out the brush, looking fine as frog hair. Healed. Stronger, even. But they weren't right. They'd stare too long. They didn't bark or bleat no more. Just watched. Like they remembered being somewhere else, and maybe wishing they'd stayed. After that mess in Nevada, Mel went dark again. Didn't call, didn't write, like he'd been swallowed up by the very thing he was trying to warn us about. Then, out of nowhere, in the dead winter of 2002, Mel's voice crackled back across the coast-to-coast airwaves. But this time, something was different. He sounded tired. Real tired. Weren't just his voice, neither. It was like his soul had been run through a ringer. He talked slow, like every word was a weight dragging behind his tongue. He said he'd been gone for a while. Taken. Wouldn't say by who. Claimed there were gaps in his memory, big ones, weeks, maybe months, missing. His teeth were falling out, hair thinning. Said he was feeling cold even in the heat, like whatever he'd been near had stayed inside him. He remembered being hooked up to machines. Cold metal touching bare skin, voices speaking in languages he didn't recognize, waking up places he didn't fall asleep in. Blood drawn, fluids tested, dreams. Dreams of lights blinking from beneath the earth and faces without eyes. Mel tried to warn folks. Said them holes weren't natural. Weren't even man-made. Said they went through the world. Tunnels, maybe, or veins in the bone of something older than time. And whatever was down there, it was watching. Waiting. Rising. That was the last time anyone ever heard from Mel Waters. No more calls, no more sightings, no trace. Some folks say he's buried out in that desert. Others claim he's still alive, hiding, watched by men in black suits with dead eyes and colder hands. And a few, just a few, say he never existed at all. Just a ghost on the airwaves. But the hole is still out there. Out in Washington, out in Nevada. Maybe more of them spread across the land like rot beneath the skin of the world. no signs, no fences, just waiting for the next poor soul to stumble too close. Or maybe listen too hard late at night when the radio hums just right. Now, maybe, just maybe, Mel's Hole never existed. Maybe it was all just smoke and stories, a tale cooked up by a man who spent too much time listening to the wind out west. But I'll tell you something true, folks. Whether that hole was carved in the dirt or in the mind, it done tapped into something ancient. Something deep. A fear that lives down in all of us. Same place we hide the dreams that make us wake up sweating. It's the fear of the unknown. The kind that makes you stop in your tracks when you find a cave you ain't never seen before. Makes the hair on your neck prickle when you peer into a well and can't see nothing but pitch. Makes you whisper instead of speak, like maybe something's listening from down below. Mel's Hole don't gotta be on a map to be real, 'cause stories like that, they plant seeds, and once they take root in your head, you start seeing holes everywhere. You ever stood at the edge of something dark and felt it staring back? Yeah. Maybe the story's real because we believe it. Or maybe, just maybe, it was never a hole at all. Maybe it was a doorway. So come back to watch the next one with us here at Kentucky Melody if you dare. And just remember, that hole's still out there, waiting, watching. So don't go poking too deep where the dark runs thick. I'll see y'all in the next one, if something don't drag me down first.